Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Live Free and Ham live stream. I'm Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I'm with my co-host.
It's Paul, N1OG.
Woo! Got the order right.
And still a General Todd, W1STJ.
Yeah, but, you know, you have the heart of an extra. We understand that. There's no doubt about that. Well, you know, guys, it's great to get back together again here on a live show, and we're starting to see people come on in, so... You know, as we say, come on in, the water's warm, come in and have some fun. We've got a great guest that's coming on in a couple of minutes. So if you could guesstimate by the title, we're going to have some fun here. But before we kind of kick that stuff off, you know, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in our Ham Radio Week. You know, we'll start off with you, Paul. What's your Ham Radio Week been like?
Oh, well, let's see. So I ordered some stickers. Really excited about that.
Good deal.
I got, there was a really good deal. I believe it was, Mike, in the, New England chat there, was it N2MAK? He said, hey, check these guys out. I got, 200 stickers for $57 with shipping.
Wow. Nice. Yeah. Good deal.
The bands haven't been great. So, but I did make a couple, contacts, but yeah, you do what you do.
Have fun with it, right? All right, Todd, well, over to you, man. How has your Ham Radio Week been?
It's been pretty uneventful, but I got some news. I am last-minute trip to Arkansas on Monday, so I'm going to be able to pick up a new state, activating a park down there. So I'll be posting it on the app, and I'm not sure what park I'm doing, but I did look at where I'm flying into Little Rock, and I'm heading south for an hour. So there's a few parks there. So I'm going to try to hit as many as I can on the way back.
Nice. You going for just a typical day trip again, or is this going to be a couple of days?
No, just a day. Leave Monday, get down there around noon, and then leave the next morning at 7. So I should be done by 2 or 3. You know, what is that? That's like one time zone away, I think, from the East Coast. Behind, yeah, an hour behind. So I'll get a couple in and then call it a day and knock Arizona off as hopefully an activated park in a new state.
Nice. Get some long distance contacts out of a couple of, you know, especially Arizona. I'll be looking forward. So awesome. Yeah. Well, that's good. So I guess with me, you know, let's see. I yesterday we activated a park, ended up hitting again, like Paul said, the bands were just like, yeah, they were kind of like, you can make contacts, but they aren't as plentiful when you know, conditions are filled with solar flares and storms and the whole nine yards there. I guess my crowning achieving moment was you know, obviously being able to hit Izzo on 40. So, you know, I always like to make sure when he pops up on Ham Alert that, you know, I get him in the log. So, you know, after all is said and done, you know, that park turned out to be you know, about 25 contacts. So I think I can't cry too much about, you know, having something like that. And so with that, I'm looking forward to hopefully better days. And, you know, even if not, like Paul said, I'm just getting out there and activating and having fun. So cool. All right. Well, we've got a great show tonight, as I mentioned before. And again, I want to say hello to everybody in the chat. I see Vince from Ham Radio Workbench in there. And obviously, Smoke Signals RF, love to see you there, Izzo, supporting, and a bunch of other folks that are new to us. But thank you again for being part of tonight's live stream. And just one kind of quick thing before we bring in our guest, you know, just to let you guys know, obviously, if you haven't checked out our store lately, you know, some of us are definitely still sporting the Live Free and Ham stuff. We've added a couple of new things. We've got a bunch of stylish tees, trendy hats, top of the line beer mugs. Who cannot go wrong with a beer mug, man? I'm all over that. And, you know, from a couple previous episodes, we are developing and launching a new shirt that's going to be called Ham Radio Found Me. That's Todd's bond with, you know, Ham Radio. You know, so we created a shirt to basically, you know, commiserate the moment, and you know, we'll want to make sure we want to wear that. We might make it in a pink too, just, you know, to kind of add that little flair. So with that, you know, again, we appreciate everybody who has bought stuff in the store, and, you know, and we appreciate your support in the show. Oh, there we go.
And don't forget the Izzo t-shirt.
Yes.
My favorite.
Second popular shirt there outside of the I Feel Dumb with Ham Radio. And we just love doing these shirts. So if you got ideas, you know, please let us know. We'll make sure we get a shirt on.
Well, at the bottom of Todd's shirt, you're gonna put in parentheses, Eric made me do it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And Ryan made me spend my money. All good stuff. Cool. And as always, you know, because we are a podcast and our live streams get converted to podcast format 24 hours after this, you can always head over to our show in iTunes or any of the podcast platforms you use. And, you know, if you could, we'd love to have a review. And if you do happen to post a review, we'll make sure we read it on our next episode and share the love. So without further ado, you know, I don't want to keep him in the background too long because, you know, he might be ready to jump, as they say. So, you know, we're going to bring on Carlos. And there we go. He's got his own professional stickers. Carlos, thank you for coming on.
Descent, man. Descent. There we go. Nice having you,
fellas. Very cool. Very cool. Well, hey, thank you again for coming on. I know we spent some time trying to coordinate there and get going. And I'm glad we finally got all our I's dotted and T's crossed and brought you on because I know, as Paul mentioned in the chat, if you haven't gone up, he's got a little boy crush, you know.
You know, I gathered that much from listening to the podcast.
Yeah, both of these guys, they talk and dream about you often. I don't know what it is. It's just very odd. So
look, this beard is dreamy, baby.
I feel left out in this whole crew. You know, I'm the only one without one.
It has 3 dB. You didn't know that?
Wow, man, I would have fought five, but hey, you know, three's good. Cool. All right, well, you know, so let's kind of kick things off a little. Obviously, some folks know who you are. You're very famous and popular when it comes to the skydiving ham radio crowd, but you know, let's kind of dive in a little, talk about you and, you know, kind of where did your ham radio start, and, you know, where did parachuting and ham radio kind of intertwine and get tied up in the ropes, as they say?
First of all, I'm not famous. I'm infamous, if anything.
See, there you go.
let's be clear. If I were famous, I'd have Josh numbers. I don't have Josh numbers.
You're from a town from Alpoco.
Yes.
Oh, but look, man. We've got you on our podcast. We haven't even had Josh yet, so you're more important.
I feel honored, fellas. I feel honored. Oh man, when ham radio started, kind of in a weird way for me, because my uncle had a pirate station, and I didn't know it was a pirate station until a couple of years ago, in Puerto Rico. And growing up, you know, he exposed me to ham radio, and I was down the track of getting my license and everything else. And then I, you know, found out about girls, and that went kind of by the wayside. In 2017, we had Hurricane Maria hit my home island of Puerto Rico, and it was very clear that the only people getting any information in and out were the amateurs. And I just told myself, the next one, I am going to be ready, because I can't have my family not have my help if I can help it, right? Mm-hmm. So I just did the study thing and got my license in 19. And, you know, I've been a skydiver since I got my license in 2012. I started skydiving in 2011. I am not a pilot, Jeff. You know what? That's not true. I am a pilot. I pilot my body and I pilot a parachute. I am not a certificated FAA airman, if you will. The thing is, I am not a theory guy. I hate theory. That's not true. I don't hate theory. It's just, in theory, you should be able to X, Y, and Z. It's like, I want reality, right? So as I was studying for my tech, one of the books that I read, you know, had this, you know, the toroid of what an antenna does in free space. And I thought, well, this is kind of weird. Why in the hell would an antenna have a null under it? It doesn't make sense to me, right? Because I don't know about you, but I've done this. I can go to the TV station antenna, stand under the damn thing, and grab a TV and turn it on, and I'll receive the signal. So there's no null there. It's absolutely no null there. And I'm going to do the same thing with the radio stations, right? I can go right next to the radio station antenna, turn on the radio and tune it in, and The sound is there. So the theory of it was a non-starter for me, even though I know I needed to learn this stuff to pass the test. And that's when I went, hey, wait a minute. I know where I can put an antenna freestanding without no obstructions. Can I test this? And that's how this whole thing started. This whole thing, that and height is might. Everything I read was height is might. And I was like, if I can only get, call it 15 miles, maybe 20 miles on a mobile, if I'm lucky, maybe a little bit farther on a mobile from the ground, what can I do with that from the air? So I took my HT and, made a jump and just called CQ on 5.2 and I sent the video out to the people that I contacted. And the next thing I know, this thing is like blowing up on YouTube. I'm like, well, I guess I have a thing here. Let me just do this. If people like it, why not? That's where we are, man. It's just a matter of experimentation with radio and experimentation with antennas and seeing how far can I get and how clearly can I get, that distance, right? If height is might, what height, what does it do?
So you decided that 50 feet wasn't good enough, that I'd rather go into miles and
no, we're going really to 14,000, baby, because 14,000 is where I go, right? I'd do 20,000 if I could do it without oxygen, but
Is that a goal? Is that a 2025 goal? Or
you need very expensive gear to do that, and I don't have that kind of money. I don't have money. I'm just a regular schmo.
Nothing that we can't use the crowdsource here. Anybody want to help fund Carlos's 20,000 foot gear? We'll put a
gather the 50K I need to do 20,000 foot gear. I'll gladly put your money to work.
Hey, I just saw that there was a crowdsourcing funding thing where they raised over $300,000 to throw a kegger for some frat boys that protected the American flag. So I'm sure we could get you some money.
Yeah, but those guys are doing something meaningful. I'm just some schmo jumping out of an airplane playing radio, man.
You're testing antenna theory to the max.
And I'm having a riot doing it. That's look, if you don't get that I love doing what I'm doing, you're not paying attention. When I get to make a contact with some little kid that, especially one that has a license, right? Like, I just got my license and you're my, my fifth contact and it's happened, like, this is awesome, dude. This is just, it tickles the heart, man.
So Carlos, when I got my ticket, I was all, YouTube and everything and watching everything. And I saw one of your videos. I'm like, oh, that guy is awesome. And probably a week after the first video, I was in my car. I have an HT and this is before I had my mobile rig and I had a antenna mag mount on the roof. And I was on this channel called the Wolfpack, which is a fusion digital channel that's around here. And someone had switched the repeater or whatever to America's Link, and you and I were having a conversation about it. And when I put two and two down, I'm like, oh my God, that's the guy that jumps out of the airplane. Holy crap. Like, I can't believe I'm talking to him.
I actually remember. And you told me. Believe it or not, I actually remember that conversation.
And you said, I said, hey, we have a parachute place in Pepperell, Mass. When you come in, you're like, it's on my list. It's on my list.
So Pepperell.
So we're still waiting for you.
Pepperell is definitely on my list. I've been invited to go out there by a couple of people, and it's on the list of things. Unfortunately, Pepperell, Massachusetts, it's not friendly to my kind of people. So justifying the trip is a little difficult.
Massachusetts isn't friendly to anybody.
Pepperell is right on. I mean, it is literally on the border with New Hampshire. I mean, it is almost New Hampshire. It's literally just come like New Hampshire.
We'll drive you into Pepperell, and then we'll get
back. You won't even know you're there.
Oh man,
you could literally walk from the airport. You could literally like take a 5-minute walk and be in New Hampshire. It's literally that on the border, but it's I was just thrilled. I'm like, I cannot believe I'm talking to some guy on my radio. And I didn't understand how it even worked back then. And then I figured it out. You were on America's Link.
You want to know the real funny part about that contact, about that chat? I had no clue that I was on a linked system.
Neither did I.
No, Todd.
I was I live in Indiana. I'm driving to Indianapolis. I think I was, if I remember right, I was driving to my niece's house, which is not Seymour anymore, Nashville, Indiana. And what I did is I loaded a stack of repeaters from Repeater Book into my radio because I'm like, this is the first time I made this trip. What the heck? I just, I'll load it up and whatever comes up, comes up. But I had it on scan and that repeater came on in Indianapolis. It was a lively chat, right? And, I stopped the scan and I start talking to people. And then there's a guy in there from England. I'm like, dude, I'm like, where in Indianapolis are you? And he's like, I'm in Sheffield. And I'm like, the hell? It doesn't make sense. And then it dawned on me that I'm on a YSF system, and that obviously I have a Yaesu a mobile radio because I'm on a YSF system. And I'm like, so this is a linked repeater. Okay, cool. And then you came on, and I talked to you for a little bit, and then I got out of the range of the repeater and just went on my merry way. But I do remember that drive. I remember that conversation. So.
Right. That's cool. Yeah, I didn't realize that you could change, like on this repeater, on our repeater, I didn't realize you could change it. So I was like, how is he on the Wolfpack? Like, how did this even happen? And then I figured out that it was America's Link and people were like, oh, that's how it worked. So yeah, that was like, you were my first like YouTuber that I'm like, I actually talked to someone that's kind of on YouTube. And now I've got Eric with me, and I don't know if you know Eric, but when I do ham radio and POTA's with him, we have to stop because he's getting so famous. He's slowing down.
You can't classify me the same boat as Carlos. Yeah. So we just
you're slowing down our pileups with your QSOs. Oh, Eric, love your videos.
Since you started talking about Carlos, you constantly, you have this major boy crush, and it's all about
be mine. Oh, yeah.
Yes, you will. So,
hey, he's just got the balls to jump out of airplanes. I'm like,
So how big are those? And in essence, where did you start the idea of like wanting to jump out of planes? I mean,
I got to tell you, this is the biggest call of a bluff ever.
Oh my. Oh no.
I was 4 years old, and the Golden Knights are the U.S. Army parachute team. The Golden Knights made a parachute jump into my hometown. I lived in Arecibo, Puerto Rico, and if you are familiar, if you're in the radio and you don't know what Arecibo is, you're brain dead, okay? Mm-hmm. So the ballpark in Arecibo, is at the time a decent sized ballpark is closed, shut down now, and they jumped into the ballpark and. I'm feet away from their landing. And I thought, my God, this is cool. Right. And I was 4 years old. I remember this vividly. And I told myself one of these days. And let me tell you, the Golden Knights are part of the U.S. Army's recruiting command. Okay. Their mission primarily is to act as an arm of recruiting. They're trying to get people into the Army. And guess who joined the Army? This idiot, right? Because it was one of those things where I want to be a Golden Knight. And then I found out once I joined the Army that, at the time, the Golden Knights, you had to have a USPA license already, and then 50 jumps, and you have to be willing to go to jump school and whatnot. I'm like, I'm willing to go to jump school, but this USPA license, I looked into it, and it's going to cost me $3,000, and then 50 jumps is going to cost me another $3,000. I'm an E3. I'm a private first class in the Army. There's no way in this world to have that kind of money. I'm making like $11,000 a year.
Even if you went air assault, you wouldn't get the 50 jumps. It'd take you forever.
Exactly. It just wouldn't happen, right? So I thought, okay, well, this dream is dead on a vine, but my wife, here's where we're getting to the bluff. I kept on saying one of these days I'm going to jump out of an airplane. One of these days I'm going to go skydiving. One of these days I'm going to go skydiving. One of these days. And my wife got sick and tired of hearing that, man. So,
okay,
you have to know her. She is a no-nonsense woman. She is a no-BS woman. So in 2010, she gives me two tandem jumps certificates. She goes, wow. For my birthday, goes, here you go. Put up or shut up. I don't want to hear it.
Exactly.
And I'm like,
what?
Oh.
So oh, not two tickets like she's going with you, but two tickets.
No, no, no.
You're jumping twice.
Two tickets. She gave me two tickets for me, and she said, and if you give me one back, I'll go with you.
Okay.
Whoa.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Cool. Bet. It's hunting season, and you don't get me out of the woods during hunting season for anything at the time. I'm like,
except for jumping.
Let alone for a dare, right? You know, I'm like, no, I'm a grown-ass man. I'm not doing that. I'll do it next year. And sure enough, the next year, we went to the skydiving center where I actually work now. And I was perfectly fine. I swear to you that I was perfectly fine. Until about when I got in the plane. And then my nerves like went from zero to a million, like bam. And I'm like, what in the hell is wrong with me? This is nonsense. Like, this is nonsense.
Right.
How do I get out of this? And I get on the plane, and all I'm thinking is, how do I get out of this? I need to be able to find a graceful way out of this. So it's my wife, myself, and one of my friends. And I'm thinking,
fake an injury?
Huh?
Did you fake an injury?
Oh, you know, my bone spurs. boy, I'm gonna get some hate for that one. I'm thinking my buddy Perry, you know, I won't divulge his age, but he's older than me by a bit. And I'm thinking, you know, he's not gonna go. He's gonna decide at the last minute, this ain't happening, pal, because I don't have anything to prove to anybody at this age. And all the way to 14,000 feet, I'm like, Perry is my out. I'll be the best friend ever. I'll ride down this airplane with Perry. He has my back. Mind you, this is April in Illinois. It's cold on the ground. It's like 45, 50 degrees on the ground tops. It is like 9 degrees up top. And they open that door, and the blast of cold air will make your nipples so hard you can cut glass with them. And I realize that some of this may have to get bleeped later, but hopefully your edit doesn't get terrible.
Nah, no big deal.
And the first group of fun jumpers, the people that have licenses, leave the plane, and that plane, because there is, you know, when a group of four people leave the plane, on average, you're looking at 800 pounds leaving the plane. So the plane lurches. Mm-hmm. You're like, so my butthole goes, right?
Hard nipples and tight butthole. Right? Okay, got it.
The second group of fun jumpers leaves, and the plane, and I'm like, God. And all the while I'm thinking, Perry's next. Perry's going to chicken out. Guess what? Perry doesn't chicken out. And I'm here to tell you, for 12 glorious seconds, my brain went, you idiot. Perry's not your ticket out. Perry's a daredevil. Your wife is your ticket out. Your wife is the out, man. So for 12 glorious seconds, my brain is like, she is going to say no at the door. I'm going to ride this thing down with her. I'm going to be the best husband ever. Like, almost, there's going to be brownie points for the rest of my life on this. And sure enough, she goes out the door, and my brain immediately goes to, well, now you got to go. Now you got to go. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. You got to go. If you don't go, they're going to revoke your man card. Like, the moment you land, they're just going to go, and there's no recovering from this, right?
Got to do it.
So we get to the door. My eyes are just slammed shut. I'm like, and then my brain said, listen, idiot, you're going to do this exactly once in your life. You're going to do this exactly once in your life and no more. Open your eyes and enjoy the ride, because this is the one and only. So I opened up my eyes and I immediately fell in love. It was just, it was instant. And where the door was sitting at the door. And the count is at the plane that we're leaving from is a PAC 750 and it's a plane designed for skydiving. It's the only plane in the industry designed for this. And you sit at the edge and there's a little step under it where you prop your feet at, and then your instructor can prop their feet at, and then you can rock from there and it's ready, set, go. So my instructor rocks me on ready, and that's when my brain says, open your eyes. I open up my eyes and I fell in love. Like immediately it was just bam. And I tried pulling him out then, and he's like, not yet. Go. Right. And I'm here to tell you, I screamed like a girl, like the most joyous scream ever for till we landed, man. And when we landed, I told my wife, thank you very much. This is the greatest gift I have ever received. This is the most amazing thing ever. And this is the most expensive gift you've ever given me. And she says, oh, no, I got a deal on the coupons and this, that, the other. And I said, no, the license is $3,500 and new gear at the time is $4,500. I'm getting a license. She goes, the hell you are. And here we are. I just
it's only 10 grand, honey.
I mean, and I'm a skydiving instructor now, and the device pays for itself for me now, right? And I admit this is a vice. This is no different than coke or heroin or pot or any other vice, nicotine, caffeine, you name it. This is a vice. Okay. And if you're a skydiver and you don't admit to yourself and to the rest of the world that this is a vice, you're lying, and everybody that knows you knows that you're lying.
How many jumps do you do on average a year?
Oh, that depends on the year. Last year, I had a massive year. I'm working on becoming an examiner. An examiner in skydiving is different than being in a VE. An examiner is the teacher's teacher. And last year, I did just shy of 1,000, right at 1,000 jumps, which is irregular for me. On average, I'm doing like 300-400 jumps a year. I consolidated my logs literally over like a month ago. And when I finally consolidated my logs, because I was way off on my logging, at the beginning of the season, I had 2,900 jumps exactly.
Wow.
Holy moly. And believe it or not, I am still wet behind the ears. I am not joking, guys. Think about it. If it takes you 10,000 hours to become an expert at anything, and you go free-falling 1 minute at a time, I have 2,900 minutes of free fall, ballpark, give or take a minute or two, okay? Divide that by 60. I don't know what that works out to, but I guarantee you it's nowhere near 1,000 hours, nowhere near 100 hours, I don't think. So it's, you know, people go, 2,900 jumps. Like, yes, it's a lot of skydiving. I'm not going to deny that it's a lot of skydiving. And in my world, for most people, 2,900 skydives is a lot. Mm-hmm. I also work with jumpers, skydivers that are instructors. Excuse me, that have 10,000 tandems as pilot in command. Just okay. 10,000 tandems as pilot in command. Never,
you're a greenhorn at that point.
Never mind the rest of the jumps they have. That's 10,000 tandems as pilot.
Wow.
So I am literally wet behind the ears, even though I have a ton of experience. If this ever gets boring, I'm quitting, because this is not the kind of thing that you can be complacent about. And complacency, boring leads to complacency. Complacency leads to death or injury. And I don't have any desire for either of that.
Well, you know, you either, you know, fall to your death in a parachuting accident, or you get electrocuted by a ham radio. I mean, it's one or the other. So, you know, you die happy either way, right?
I would rather die happy in different ways, dude.
True. Well, right. We can't unveil that here, but yeah, I agree with you. I'm not 100%.
So now what I'm going to have to do later, though, is I'm going to have to take clip of this and just edit the hell out of it and then show it to my wife and be like, look, you know, I've always said someday I'm going to jump. Look, let Carlos be my inspiration here. Right. and
honey,
and,
wink, and, wink.
Yes,
wink.
Be like, you know, look at what a great story that is. We'll see if she goes for it.
But. You heard it here, man. We'll start a Patreon. You know, we already have our Patreon and buy us a beer. Like, you know, if you want to help fund, move that needle a little forward with Paul to get jumping with Carlos, we're going to have to make that happen. Yeah, I'm game with that.
Yeah, I'll donate. And then we also have our fundraiser, you know, what is it called? Fundraiser for my tower. Cause my wife said I could get a tower, Carlos, if I get her a kitchen.
Oh, well then get a new kitchen, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know how much a kitchen is?
Lots.
About 60 grand.
Yeah.
On the high end. So, all right, cool. All right. So I see the love of the skydiving. And so yeah, obviously ham radio was kind of out of a need, you know, based off of your scenario, what was going on. You know, what made you like just decide that, you know, it was like, I'm going to take my HT up and then, you know, HF, was it just more of you trying to push the envelope a little bit more every time when you were going up?
Like I said earlier, is the curiosity thing is the itch scratcher. I saw this on a book where there's supposed to be a null under this thing and there isn't because I can do it on the ground, right? I don't do theory well, not if I can prove it, right? So when you can prove something, it stops being theory. It starts being an actual thing. And I was able to prove to myself that there's a null under the antenna because there was a fella. So the skydiving center I work at has a truck stop next to it. And there was a fella there in his semi-tractor trailer. And I called CQM 52 while I was on the ground. And I just let the guy know because trying to figure out who local might hear me. And I told the guy, hey, this is like jump number 5 or 6 or 7 doing this thing. I'm going to be doing this. And he goes, well, I'm at the truck stop. I'm here overnight. I'll get you when you come down. Like, great. Awesome. And sure enough, I'm right above this truck stop and I'm calling CQ and the guy's not coming at me. I'm getting all sorts of people, man. I'm getting people left, right, center, people in Chicago, people in Indiana, people in Wisconsin. I was hurt in Iowa. Like later on, I found out I was hurt in Iowa on that jump. And, you know, Iowa from where I'm at is like 100 and some odd miles. It's a distance, right? But I didn't hear this guy until about, 4,000, maybe 3,000 feet in that neighborhood. My brain went, hey, dummy, the whole thing that started this was a theory, and he's below you. Like, if I look down, I see the Love's truck stop. Like, right. Well, let me take this HT antenna and tilt it, because I've been holding it like this, right? And I tilt it, and I call CQ, and sure enough, the guy's there, like, clear. He's like, I've been waiting for you. What altitude are you? I'm like, I'm about to wrap this up, dude. So sure enough, there's a null under the antenna. You just have to take it high enough is the problem.
Now, one of the things that I want to know is because you're coming in, you know, at such a different height, right? The number of wavelengths and how much does that play in? Like, encounter like a lot of fading, like as the wavelengths change?
So what I can tell you is this. I don't know about the wavelengths in terms of altitude, but I can tell you that directionality matters even on omnidirectional antennas. So
interesting.
Think about this. An NFET half wave on the band that it is originally tuned for, that it is natively tuned for, is supposed to have an omnidirectional pattern. And I've done this more than once where I have been facing one way. I've had my Pactena NFET halfway spooled out on 20, right? And it's behind me. And I'm facing this way. And I'm making a contact with Eric. And I realize I'm in the middle of contact. And I realize I need to navigate to the left or to the right to be where I need to be. Because guess what, folks? Skydiving, I don't have power. The only power I have is gravity and I don't get it back, right?
Right.
So I have to be mindful of my navigation. So if you watch a video of mine, you see me turning, you're like, why is he turning? I'm navigating. I'm trying to keep myself in the right area. And I might be having a contact with Eric and I make a turn, let's say to the right to get to where I need to go. And Eric goes from an S9 to disappeared.
Right.
And then I'll make a left turn to get back on my original wind line. And there he is again. let's finish the QSO. Great, we finished the QSO. Oh, I need to navigate again. And I'll do a 180, and he's still there. So this way the antenna matters, and this way the antenna matters, even though it's supposed to be a donut or a globe, if you will. It has directionality in it. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't tell you what the exact path is because I have no way of measuring that. But I know that
so how can we incorporate Whisper? Can we bring up a laptop and, you know, at the same time run a couple of tests?
Funny enough, I have a Whisper beacon that I bought 2 years ago that I have yet to fly with me, and I need to do that.
That'd be interesting.
Is that the one you put in the SDR box?
No. The Whisper beacon I bought from Hans. What is Hans? Something QRP radio, rather. Other. He's from Germany. He does the 4 days in May stuff. The QMX, the QDX.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know you don't.
Anyhow.
I can't think of his call.
He's got a beacon that he sells that is made by somebody else in Germany, I think, out of an Arduino that is a Whisper and APRS beacon. And I have it, and I have just yet to fly it. I just need to get off my butt and fly the thing and figure out what the pattern on it is just to get an idea. But, you know, voice contacts over digital contacts all day.
Oh, 100% with you. 100%.
Yeah.
You know, a Whisper jump is kind of a dull one. I don't know how I would edit that one.
Yeah.
You'd have to have some commentary for sure. You know, it just might stretch you.
Oh, that's just 15 minutes of me yapping away. I mean, well, I've done it here so far.
I mean, you're on the clubhouse. Come on. I mean, that's 2 hours. So you should be able to condense that down in 15 minutes.
Have some great music in the background. QRP Labs. QRP Labs is Hans's company.
Wow. Very cool. Mm. All right, well, go ahead, Todd. You guys, I know you have a bunch of questions, so fire away.
Well, so, all right, not jump related, but the camper, the truck camper.
Yeah.
Have you slept in it yet?
Oh, dude, right. A number of times at this point in time. And yes, it is glorious. But the worst of it is I don't have a heater in there. And at the beginning of the skydiving season, it got down into the 20s at night, and I was cool. I'm not going to say I was cold, but I was certainly, I realized it's a good thing I brought my cold weather sleeping bag, and I shifted from having a blanket over me to just, you know, I grabbed the sleeping bag, crawled into it, went back to sleep, not a problem. But it was cool enough that the cool woke me. But other than that, not a problem, man. It's surprisingly comfortable to be sleeping in the back of the truck. The only thing I wish I had more of is headroom. And I'm a short guy. I'm only 5'6". So I can't sit on that bed, at least not with a platform under it. And the mattress, I have I think it's a 6 or 8 inch mattress I bought from Amazon. Excuse me. And it is surprisingly comfortable. So if you have a pickup truck and you can sleep in that length and you have desires of going and exploring and whatever, totally do it. It's worth the money. It is absolutely worth the money to build it. And last night I saw a project on Kickstarter that basically it's like a cot frame for the very purpose. They built it for the truck. And I was like, oh man, if I had known about this in January, I wouldn't have built this platform because that's far more utilitarian and lighter. But I am where I am now, right? So, you know, no big deal. But if I had to start again today, I would definitely buy that and just use that because it gives me more room underneath the mattress or underneath the platform. And it gives me options to hook gear because it has like little hooking places and whatnot. It's a neat little setup. Nice. I can't remember the name of it. If you're looking for something like that, just go on Kickstarter and search for the truck bed camper cot something rather other. I wish I had a link for you. I really, but I don't. It's just one of those things where I bought a fountain pen on Kickstarter last night, and that was on the stream of things. I'm like, oh, this is interesting, and I looked at it and went, oh, this is cool.
So.
Rabbit hole.
Funny. All right. I won't let us go too far down it, but I was talking to my wife earlier, and I was like, I'm so excited for Carlos. Come on. I was like, I know he's a ham guy. He jumps, and I'm envious as hell of that. I said, but like, he also likes pens and watches and other cool, like guy shit, you know? And there you go, bringing up fountain pens. So I saw one really awesome the other day. It's aligned with the Earth's axis, and it sits in this holder, and it hovers.
Oh, I've seen it. It's a magnetic holder with the pen. Why is it
giving you a thumbs down on that one, Carlos. Sorry.
This one is made by Prometheus Lights. It's called a bamboo. I have the aluminum version. I have the copper version. They're fantastic pens. I mean, the nib itself is made by Bach. If anybody's into fountain pens, they know that Bach makes good stuff. But the weight of this, like the weight of this monster, the copper one, I don't know how much it weighs off the top of my head, but it's beefy. And when you're writing with it, it feels like you're actually writing something important, even if you're just making a to-do list.
You know, you heard it here first. You know, ultimately, you know, we are.
Sir, here is a check with my name on it. Write down any number on this piece of paper, and I will pay it.
Yep.
Tens, man.
You know, I go down the rabbit holes. There we go. See, here we go. Is that a diplomat?
Yeah.
Oh. See,
Todd. You know, now you're just gonna have to open up your wallet.
Hey, I've got some cool pens. I like these. I like the gun.
Oh, the
I don't know what they're called. I got a couple of them. See, I'm lefty, so like those fountain pens don't work.
They do if you get the right ink.
Yeah. Well, maybe lefty
ink. Right.
No, really. They actually make lefty ink. They make ink that dries super fast, so that left-handed folks can hook their grip and still write and not smear ink all over their hand.
Yep, right here.
I might join in, but you know, I would probably have to go seek therapy because of all the years the nuns cracked me on the back of the head with the good old pointer whip because I was writing with my left hand. So you know, I don't want to relive life, but yeah, all good. All right, well, so let's talk about a little ham radio, Gary. Unless Paul, you want to dig deeper into the rabbit hole?
No. Good. I appreciate the indulgence.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. So obviously you've got some HTs and a few other ham pieces of gear. You know, what describe to us a little bit what you take up with you when you do go and do HF, you know, parachute mobile, and you know, what is the, and I'll throw the caveat in, what is the ultimate radio that you want to, you know, eventually get to, you know, when you start doing parachute mobile?
See, that's a difficult one, right? That last one is difficult, but I'll tell you where I started. I started with an HT. I started with a Yaesu FD3D. And it let me tell you, as an HT is a lovely piece of gear, but as soon as I was able to afford an HF rig that I could take in the sky, I bought a 706 Mark IIG, and that sucker, let me tell you, I sold it and I bought it back. I don't know if Andrew's watching this or not, but it became so much temptation to have, because 100 watts is 100 watts, and you definitely get a lot more oomph with it, okay? I know we're supposed to use the minimum power required. Yeah, whatever. Hey,
whatever. Not on this show.
Look, if I could take
cure all the way.
If I could take 1500 watts with me in the air, I would. But
you heard it here, folks.
But here's the thing. So I did 706 Mark IIG for a couple of years, and that did really, really well for me. Right, I bought a 705. Because I wanted to increase the challenge. And I wanted the QRP aspect of it to increase the challenge to me. And I had that 706. And after about three jumps of only getting like, you know, a handful of contacts, I was like, I got to get the 706 back into the mix. I got to get the 706 back into the mix. And then Andrew was looking for another rig. And I'm like, I'll sell you my 706. It's just too much temptation. I just can't have that handy. It's just like, handing me like a 21-year-old whiskey and saying, hey, here's a 21-year-old whiskey, but you said you wanted to drink 12s. okay, here's a 12. Like, 21-year-old whiskey, man. Come on.
Yeah. Right?
So I sold that to Andrew, and he needed to cash flow some stuff. And he's like, hey, I'm going to sell that 706. And I'm like, fine, I'll buy it back.
Double the cost. It's a great radio.
It's a fantastic radio. So I went from the FT3D to the 706 to the 705. Right now, like if I had to pick like a holy grail radio, make a 7300 the size of the 705.
Okay.
Right. Like, let me take 100 watts up the size of a 705, like a 706, where it has, you know, from 180 all the way down to 70 centimeters. And that's the ultimate radio, which is the 706 Mark IIG. But I love the idea of all the versatility I have with the 705. QRP aside, right? It is a fantastic piece of kit. I have a 991A in my shack. I have thought about taking it in the sky. I can't take it in the sky. I can't find a bag that'll fit it. I have a 7300 that I've thought about taking in the sky. Can't take it in the sky. I can't find a bag that'll fit it. And people go, yeah, there's bags for that. And like, none that fit my very specific requirements. I have to have a bag that wears as a fanny pack, you know. And I don't know how the British say that, so I don't know if the British listen to this or not. But it's that kind of bag that sits in the front of us, okay? I know
it's a satchel.
A satchel, like
a I know waist the British pack.
Yeah, they call, you know, that's a vulgarity over there, right? So I need a pack that fits in front of me. Because I have to keep all of my excess gear out of the way of my parachute gear because my safety is number one. Like, I'm not going to put any gear that's going to get in the way of the handles of my skydiving system. It's just not going to happen. Similarly, I'm not, like, I can't take a big mast antenna with me. I can't do that. It's not safe. Yeah. And it would take a lot of room in the airplane, right? Even if I could take it safely, it just takes a lot of room in the airplane. I can't do that. So, ultimate, like if I had a holy grail, I would have something like the 706 Mark IIG, but with the current advances of the 705, you know, so 100-watt 705. How about that? So it's a better.
Okay.
And guess what? I have been looking at amps to tie to the 705. I haven't found one that I can fit in the right in the right format. But if I find the right amp to put in the bag, I'm definitely taking QRO in the sky.
So now, see, Eric, this is why I keep telling Yaesu to make the 705 killer, make it like the 705, but make it 100 watts. And now they're going to have at least two guaranteed buyers. Me and Carlos would have it, no doubt. Like instantly.
Three, man, but you know, yeah. I can't say I'll buy it yet because I'm sure gonna, you know, have to wait a little bit on that.
Yeah, but Icon being so great, like, they just need to make it. That's it.
Look, here's the thing, and as a guy that owns I have a Kenwood also in the garage that I need to fix. When it was working, it was fantastic. Sounds awesome. Can't take it in the sky. Too big. If I had similar models from Yaesu, Kenwood, and ICOM, I would buy the ICOM because I like the menu system on the ICOM. It is straightforward and intuitive and easy to figure out. I'm a simpleton, folks. Nice. I know I look like I'm a smart guy because I didn't buy airplanes. That's not a sign of smarts, okay? but I really enjoy how simple the menuing system is on the ICOM. That said, you know, ICOM, Yaesu, Kenwood, all three brands that are major. I suppose I don't have an Elecraft. That's on the list of things I probably should get at some point in time, maybe at Hemvention. If I can find a deal on one, and I mean a deal, it has to be a deal.
Off the back of the truck deal.
I mean, it has to be a sweet deal because, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I live on a budget. I account for every cent that comes in the door, and I account for every cent that goes out the door one way or another. And if it's not on the budget, it's not happening. I don't care how good how good of a deal it is. If it's not in the budget, it's not happening.
I got a question. So, like, what's the benefit for you to go to, say, SDR Waterfall versus sticking with the 706 Mark G? I mean, that's a great radio. We all know. I mean, you don't really. Are you spending a lot of time when you're in the air and free fall? Just
I don't look
at the waterfall.
I don't look at the waterfall, but I do keep an eye on my meters, which are so much easier to read on the 705. And the access to the content on that screen is significantly easier to access and significantly easier to read. I'm young for our demographic. Our demographic is 60 plus, right? And I'm hitting 50. So I'm young for our demographic, but these eyes are not the eyes of a 21-year-old, okay? And I recognize that, so bigger screen, more beta.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. I was curious to see if you were getting any benefits out of, say, a waterfall and being able to see like the whole spectrum and be able to find a spot. But
I did.
I assume you don't care if you're on top of somebody when you're parachuting at that point.
I do care, right? I do care because I don't want to trample over somebody. But I had one jump where I played POTA. I wanted to hunt POTA stations. So I wrote down, it was a day where POTA was lit on fire. I don't have the list in front of me. It's in the garage. I had a list of like 50 different stations on 20 meters.
Okay.
And I went up and I tried to work every one of those and I couldn't get, I think I got one, maybe two of them, but I was using I was using the waterfall to like, are they there? Hearing anything, moving on to the next one, because it's like, I have so much time to make this happen.
So you should jump over a park and ask the POTA people, is that legal? CQ parks on air, 10,000
feet. It's been cleared. It's been cleared. I already had.
I was going to say, I think it was. But.
So there's a park not that far from the drop zone. It's a park 15 miles flying distance from the drop zone. And I got permission. I got the initial permission from the FAA because you have to fill out paperwork. It's a demonstration jump. When you're landing in a place that's not a drop zone, it's a demonstration jump. So I filled out all the paperwork, and then it got kicked back. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, well, the state of Illinois requires permission from the State Parks Commission for you to land there, so you need to have the signature of the state of Illinois' park commissioner. And I'm like, I don't have that kind of money to go pay bribes for some official to sign my paperwork. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah,
right. And the drop zone will not drop me off over there, because if they do, then it's on them and they're not paying the fine. So, you know, seeing as the pilot doesn't want to lose his pilot's license or certificate, I should say, it's not a license, it's a certificate. And there is a difference. The pilot's not going to drop me off without the proper legal paperwork filled out and approved by the FAA.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
But if I can find a park in the state of Indiana where there is no such stupidity of a requirement, I will totally fill out the paperwork and do it in a park in Indiana. It's just a matter of finding a park close enough to the drop
zone.
And doing the activation.
Would you violate your rule number one, which is that you would cross over to Massachusetts border if we could find you a park that you could land in?
That's not rule number one. That's not rule number one.
So I'm thinking, I'm thinking a national wildlife refuge, right? If there was a big enough place for you to land as a veteran, you get free access. So
there you go.
I'd love to see the park ranger pull up like, sir, you trespassing. I'm like, no, sir, I have a veteran's ID. You see?
Cleared here. Thank you. Cool. All right. Well, so let's kind of segue. You guys have any more questions before I kind of segue?
It's not really ham. Have you ever done those wingsuits?
Yes. Love it.
How
it's
is that?
Gorgeous. It's
like flying, right?
It is as close to flying as I am ever going to get, right? The wingsuit is basically one big wing. Your arms are webbed to your hips and your legs are webbed together. And if you got a big enough wingsuit, your arms are webbed to your feet. And the bigger the suit, the harder it is to control and the more dangerous it is. But so the bigger the suit, the more experience you need with it. but it is supremely lovely to be able to just glide, because you take your free fall from doing about roughly 120 miles an hour to doing like 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour. In the right suit, you do even slower than that. Now your forward speed, wow, you're screaming. Your forward speed is moving 180, 190 miles an hour. I have a buddy that has held the world record for a couple of years, and Riddler's top speed was like 300 and some odd kilometers per hour.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was up there for 5 minutes, man. He was just gliding, riding a thermal, just like it was like when he landed from that, I didn't do the jump and I was happy. I was just like, that is amazing. When you look, because I don't have it with me here, but wingsuiters use a data logging device that logs at 4 hertz. And so every four times every second, you get a data point of your location based on GPS, right? So then they use that data for all the records, because, you know, it's one thing for me to go, I did 190 miles an hour. It's another thing for me to show you data that says that I did, right? When he pulled down the data on that data logger and we saw the track, it was just one of those like, you did. Oh my God. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Then one of the other.
Yeah. Cool. I've watched a lot of those videos, those guys that are like right above ski resorts and just screaming.
That's wingsuit proximity jumping, and that is dangerous.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah, man. Wingsuit proximity jumping is base jumping for wingsuits. And, man, the best of the best get hurt every year because they get too close.
Oh yeah.
You always
I've watched some documentaries where guys have just, you know, the best of the best, most skilled, you know, gust of wind, or they get too close or they make one mistake. You gotta be a certain kind of person to do some of that
stuff. Yeah. When you get that close, your margin of error is none, right? The tiniest mistake is either injury or death.
Yeah. And,
you know, when I got started in skydiving, my wife made me, said, make me a promise. And I'm like, what's that? She goes, no base jumping. I was like, okay.
Just once.
No. I promise no base jumping. So no base jumping. There won't be any base jumping for me.
Yeah.
As much as I want to, because believe me, I want to go base jumping. It's the idea of it. And I'm talking just regular base jumping, not wingsuit base jumping, right? And there are places where you can get 1,000 foot of drop. The bridge over in West Virginia that has the bridge. There's just a bridge that has like 1,000 foot drop somewhere. I don't remember where, but that's emergency procedure skydive. Not a big deal, right? But I made a promise, and therefore, I'm not going to go base jumping. Simple.
Cool. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff you're doing with Good Game there, and just kind of the youth side of things, because I think that's kind of important to touch on a little bit. And I know it's kind of your passion a little bit. So talk a little bit about what's kind of coming up to that point, and, you know, kind of what led you down that road a little bit, why, you know, got involved in that, and what you're kind of doing.
So Dayton Hemvention, right? Last year, 2 years ago, I went there for the first time, and I approached Good Game and said, hey, man, is there anything I can help you with? Because I like what he's doing. If you're not familiar with Good Game, Steve Good Game works for the ARRL, and his mission is Youth on the Air and the Teachers Institute, both of which are very, very laudable things, very important things if we want our hobby to continue to do what we're doing, right? We need to grow more people into it. So I'm already keen on the idea. And he's like, I don't know. And then the weather went terrible that year, so I couldn't do any jumps anyways. No big deal. Well, last year, the weather is gorgeous. And I'm like, how can I help Good Game? I'm like, hey, man, when do you have the kids? Because I guarantee you that they would like to do this. And he's like, yeah, they would love it. He's like, well, you know, I have a session on Sunday. I'm like, perfect. I'll make a jump on Sunday just for you, right? So we coordinated separate frequency that didn't tell anybody else. And man, what a beautiful pileup. Okay, look, if If you haven't made a contact with someone young, you need to. You go, look for the Youth on the Air events and make a contact with them, because you hear the joy that you and I both had at the very beginning of this right now, right? Like, I go to the park and I don't think anything about making 100 contacts at the park. It's another day at the park. It's fun, but it's not a crazy thrill, right?
Right.
But you hear that voice on the other end and you hear the excitement in that voice. You're like, I got to support this. I got to do what I can to make more of this happen. At least this is for me. I don't know about you guys. To make more of this happen so that these kids eventually, look, there's going to be attrition. There's no two ways about it. But if we seed enough of the excitement, if we seed enough of the fun into them now, when they turn adults, a percentage of them will still be doing this, right? Which will mean that you and I will have more people to make contacts with when we go to the park, okay? So it's a self-fulfilling cycle here, right? So Saturday afternoon this year, so it'll be what? Let me look at my calendar. It'll be the 18th. The 18th in the afternoon, I'm making a jump at Dayton Hamvention just for the kids. And the idea is precisely to do that. So if you're going to be at Hamvention, know that I'm going to be running 2 meters. Weather permitting, folks. Weather permitting. I can't skydive in rain. I can't skydive in a storm. That's just stupid, okay? It's just a foolish idea. But weather permitting, I'm going to be skydiving Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Saturday afternoon is blocked out for the kids. So if you want to make a QSO with me, awesome. Be on the lookout for Friday or Saturday morning or Sunday morning. But Saturday afternoon, just tune into the frequency and listen to the kids do the thing. Better yet, go near the building. Just watch them do it. You'll see how
find a kid.
So Steve Goodgame has a number of control station operators for the kids that don't have licenses already. A lot of the kids that are going to be attending his program already have licenses. But he's going to have, I think, a number of board of directors there to be control station operators for those kids. So the chances of him needing your help, slim. You never know. He might say, hey, man, come on over here. I need your help. Right? You never know. But as of right now, my understanding is that he's going to have some control operators there. Excuse me. But just watch them enjoy this, right? You know, in general, our hobby is full of old men. A handful of women. And how do you get these kids excited about the idea of playing on the radio when the only people they're really going to talk to are, for the most part, you know, old men? This old man, and I, you know, I don't have a problem calling myself that, you know, I realize I'm young for the demographic of our hobby.
Yeah, but we're old considered to them, right?
Compared to kids, we're old.
But if they can make a contact with that guy that's jumping out of an airplane and they can look over that way, because the drop zone in Xenia is literally 4 miles away. Last year when I jumped, I got out 2 miles outside of the drop zone because the winds were favorable to get close to Hamvention. So I was 2 miles from Hamvention for like 8,000 feet before I navigated back towards the drop zone. Okay.
Nice.
So if you were at Hamvention and you were looking up, you could actually see me. Even at 4 miles, you can see me. It's just a smaller speck, right? But you can see me. And if they're able to stand there with a regular HT, no, you know, not a directional antenna, not a beam or anything like that. No, nothing fancy, just an HT and make a contact with some guy that just fell out of an airplane. I can tell you from just personal experience that they get excited. You hear it in their voice. And if you don't believe me, go to my YouTube channel and watch that video. It's labeled the 23 Hamvention Youth Jump or something like that. Just as a matter of fact, just go back to go to my YouTube channel and watch them all videos. Watch all the videos.
Watch them all.
I need the watch time, people. I need them. But if you only want to watch one, that's the one to watch, really, because you hear the excitement in those kids. Now, it was Sunday afternoon. We ran out of kids because a bunch of people had to leave. And then the control operator said, hey, can I get in on this? I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem, right? So bring them on. But the focus is the kids. And if you're not familiar with that program, check it out. The ARRL has a kids, a youth on the air program, a teachers institute program. Anything you give to those programs, and you mark it in the donation specifically, hey, this is for the youth program or this is for the teachers institute program, they will absolutely block out for those programs. Okay, they won't use it for anything else. And you know, understand, I'm not a member. I don't know who is. I don't know if you guys are or not, but I'm not a member. But I see the mission and the purpose of that mission with the league, and I'm perfectly happy and content to support it.
Yeah, it's always good to get kids. You know, like I was actually Eric and I were talking earlier today about, you know, how important it is to remember that excitement when we first started. You know, and last winter field day, I got the chance to put a 10-year-old little girl in the air, and it was just awesome. So amazing, so gratifying, like to see that excitement firsthand. It's unreal,
dude. And like you get to live vicariously through them. You're like, I'm a kid again, yay! I remember being a kid and having fun with radio, and I remember being a kid and having fun with a lot of things, and that excitement is short-lived, right? If we make a good impression on them now, I'm telling you, man, we stand a better chance of keeping them in the hobby for a much longer time.
100%.
Yeah. I definitely have to say, obviously with kids, it's like, you got to think about it as planting seeds, because you never know. I mean, they're going to be like in the hobby for the long haul. You're just planting a seed with the eventuality they'll come back around and sprout, you know, where, you know, you're back in the hobby again. And picking back up, because they'll have their childhood memories, because I've been in that same boat. I know what that whole ordeal is, especially when I was in my teen and youth years. It was like radio. Ooh, I like this, you know, and then you get old, you follow girls, Carlos, and you know, you decide, you know, hey, I'm done with the girls. I'm done with my career. I want to, you know, have a hobby. And so you remember ham radio.
Cool. But I mean, I'm on Ghost Guys. I mean, who hasn't looked, he turned at a certain age and gone, ooh, girls. Most of us have, okay? I realize that there's a subsection of us that doesn't. That's fine. But most of us have.
For sure. All right, cool. Well, outside of that, any kind of last little bit of things you kind of want to share, touch upon that we didn't kind of, you know, talk a little bit about? I know this, you've got a boatload of stuff on your channel. And, you know, just for folks, if you haven't gone over to you know, Carlos's channel, you know, links there. Make sure you subscribe and support him, because he's doing a, you know, great thing, obviously, with the whole skydiving and ham radio stuff, but, you know, obviously with the youth, and that's, you know, we hope to see more of that stuff too, as well, as he continues, you know, to just make awesome content and, you know, further the mission of ham radio.
I have to bring this up because I wouldn't be doing myself or anybody else any favors if I didn't say this. Okay. I am not the first to do this. I am not the only one actively doing this. I'm just the one that has the biggest mouth about it, is all. There is a group out of California. If you go to parachutemobile.org, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Hang on. Let me look it up in my email here. Anyhow, they've been doing this as a group of, I think, at least three operators in California for a long time, like for the last 10 years. And before that, there were people doing this. Let's see, Sir Rob, there we go. Rob Fenn is the primary there. And Rob is Kilo Charlie 6 Tango Yankee Delta. Look, if you can't get me for whatever reason, because I'm at QRP or because the bands are not working and you're closer to the West Coast, or maybe you have a better propagation that way, go to parachutemobile.org. Look at those guys. They have they make two or three jumps a year. They don't make anywhere near as many jumps as I do. Like I said, I'm the one with the biggest mouth and with, you know, the biggest drive in terms of making jumps. Because when I make jumps, when I decide I'm able to take, this afternoon off, I'll make three or four or five jumps in an afternoon. These guys are planning to make one jump, maybe two, a month from now or whenever, right? They plan it well ahead of time, and they publish all this stuff ahead of time. If you're wanting to get that kind of a QSO, I am not the only guy. There are other people, and there are people that came long before me. When people found out what I was doing, I started receiving cards like, hey, man, I did this in Okinawa when I was stationed over there. I did this as a tandem in Louisiana. Wow. You know, I've done it like 4 or 5 times. And, you know, I've done this here and I've done it there. So I'm not the first one by any means. All right. And I'm certainly not the only one right now. So know that there are other people out there. They're just not as loudmouth about it as I am.
It is like a brotherhood for you, right?
Yeah, man. You know, when I found out about it, after my first few videos were out, they were like, oh, there's a group out of California. I'm like, really? And I went to, they're like, yeah, parachutemobile.org. And I'm like, really? And I went, look, typed it. I'm like, how did I not know this? Like, how did I not look this up beforehand? Because I could have gotten a lot of information from those guys ahead of time.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, there's possibilities for you. Last year, Rob jumped during Pacificon, so I don't know whether he's doing that this year or not. But you know, there's an easy one if you're in the West Coast for that. You're going to be far easier to get them. But yeah, just go check them out. Give them contacts too. You know, give them contacts. Give them love. Yeah. They're doing it too.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Well, again, thank you for coming on, Carlos. It was a blast hanging out with you as always. Oh, yeah. It's great learning more about Parachute Mobile and just ham radio and, you know, your passion for youth. I am super excited. And, you know, to be truthfully honest, you know, I'm going to have to say you did raise the group average in terms of, you know, our overall, you know, performance of the podcast. I mean, that was your concern when you posted on your community channel. You were going to lower the group average.
Oh, wait till you see your stats. You're going to go, oh, wow, that was a dud.
Stats, you look for that. You know, hey, we're just having fun here. Well, either way, I learned a great deal, I have to say, you know, especially if you ever had to eat your butthole tightened or your nipples cutting glass, you know. Carlos is the man to go to.
Thanks for the invite, guys. I appreciate it. And, you know, anytime you want me to talk your ears off, I'll gladly try.
We will definitely, you have a free and open invitation, although we don't have an official call sign, although we're working on it. You know, we will, you know, gladly have you as an honorary member, as many others, to come back free anytime we're doing live streams. So if you're in the neighborhood or you want to stop by or say hello, you know, it's open invitation as always. And so we'd love to have you on anytime. So cool. All right. Well, if that, I just want to mention one other thing, you know, because I'm actually a greenhorn to this new, if you haven't been part of the Tuesday night ham radio list playlist, you know, Carlos has been a lifelong member of that and a great supporter of that. And so if you want to see a lot of his content with a bunch of other great guys and gals who are on that list, you know, check out the Tuesday night ham radio playlist on Carlos' channel, my channel, and that all leads up to the typical Tuesday night ham radio clubhouse, which we all know and love and love to hang out in. So it's always a blast. And this, you know, we kind of dive into the usual. Thanks again, everybody. We've had 44 on tonight, and I thank you guys for the likes. Good to see some new faces and some repeat offenders. It was awesome. And, you know, there are always a bunch of different ways you can reach out to the ham, Live Free and Ham community. You can always head over to our shop at livefreeandham.com/shop, pick up some of our infamous merch. You can't miss out on a good hat there or a typical t-shirt. But as always, if you are a podcast listener, you can always go head over to any of your podcast players. But if you want to leave us a review, head over to iTunes. And you can support our show through Patreon, buy us a beer links, and they are all located in the show notes of our website. And we also want to thank all of our hosts that they can be reached at livefreeandham.com. And so, with that, I always end on thank you guys for being part of Live Free and Ham and 7-3.
7-3.
7-3, everyone.